you're like most people, most Christians, you have often prayed or asked for something, and then you realize that it seems like your prayer is not being answered. Oftentimes you may look around you and see others receiving, and you're not. And so there comes a thought in your mind that, well, maybe this really wasn't for me. Maybe I just have to wait and see how things are going to work out. And yet that is contrary to what the Bible teaches us. In Matthew chapter number 9, it's been a very busy day in the life of our Savior. He has performed several miracles. He has just raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. And now we pick up reading in verse number 27. How many of you have a Bible? Would you lift your hand? You have a Bible? If you don't have one, please get to where you can see one. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, as Jesus left the house of Jairus, Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. His daughter died. Jesus resurrected her from the dead. By the way, let me go, before we go any further, can I ask you a question? Would you agree with me that there is nothing that is impossible with God?
Come on.
I mean, do we really believe that there is nothing impossible? Amen?
Amen.
Do you believe that with God all things are possible?
Right.
And so in verse number 27, as Jesus leaves Jairus' house, we pick up reading, and there are two blind men. Evidently, they have heard of this man called Jesus. Not only have they heard of him, but they have been told about his miracles and about all that what he has been doing. And these two blind men, in their desperation, they began to follow him. Keep in mind, they cannot see. Maybe they are dependent upon someone else. Maybe they are trying to feel their way along. But in verse number 27, we pick up reading, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou, Son of David, have," say that word with me,
"mercy.
Have mercy on me." I ran to the corner a while ago. Miss Joanne was talking to, I think, James, and she says, "Mercy, mercy." I looked at her and said, "Did you do something wrong? Because when you ask for mercy, you've done something wrong. Have we not all done something wrong?"
Amen. Amen. Come on.
I mean, everybody in here has, at one point of time, needed mercy. I'm glad we don't always get justice. Amen. How many of you have ever been pulled over by a state trooper or a city cop or a highway patrolman or somebody? Lift your hand. Amen. All right, now hold it. Let's take them back down. How many of you, when he pulled you over, he let you go without a ticket? Woo, that's mercy. That's mercy. In all of my, and you're not going to believe this, I know it, but I'm going to tell you, it's the truth. My family can verify it. In all the years that I have been driving, since I was 16, I have never had a speeding ticket. Not that I didn't deserve it, but mercy. You say, have you ever been stopped? Yes, I have. You ever got a ticket? No, I haven't. Mercy. And my friend, not only in our legal system we need mercy, but we need it in God's system. Amen. If you and I got what we deserve, will you hear me out? If we got what we deserve, we would be in hell today. If we got justice, we would be in hell. But thank God for mercy. So these two blind men cried out for mercy. Read on for a minute. And when he was come into the house, oh, man, that just hit me like a ton of bricks. Here are these two blind men. They are making their way. They're stumbling. Maybe they're trying to feel their way. And they said, "Mercy! Thou son of David, have mercy on us." You would have thought that Jesus would have stopped dead in his tracks and turned around to them and healed them of their blindness. But no. What did he do? He kept walking. And if you read this, he went into a house. Some people believe this is where he was lodging, where he was going to spend the night. He went on in the house. These two blind men, they were persistent. They continued to follow. They probably had to have somebody to help them get to Jesus. My friend, can I say this morning, we need some more people to help people get to Jesus. We need some people to point to Jesus and say, "Hey, there he is. He can take your sin away. He can satisfy the longing of your heart. He can heal your body. He can satisfy your soul." We need some folk that will point people to Jesus. And so they followed him. They went into the house. Now watch this. I am not making this up. Y'all follow me along in your King James. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" Do what? They had not even asked for healing. But he knew their thoughts. "I know why you're here," he would say. "You're here so that your eyes might be open." Now here's the question. Do you really believe that I can do this? And what did they say? They said unto him, "Yea, Lord, we believe it." Now in verse 29, "And then he touched the he their eyes," saying, I want everybody in this room that's got a Bible, King James, read this with me. Now read it out loud. "According to your faith be it unto you." Can you go back one more time? Say that with me again. "According to your faith." It is not based on God's ability. It is not based on God's power. It is not based on God's will. It is based on your faith. And the reason why some folks get it and some folks don't get it is because according to your faith. God doesn't play favorites. He has no respect to persons. What he does for one, he'll do for another. But according to your faith. These blind men got their sight back. And then Jesus tells them, "Go there." He said, "Go your way there." And he said in verse 30, straightly charged him, saying, "See that you know it." And he said, "Don't tell anybody about it." Now, go with me, please, to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter number 9. In Mark chapter number 9, we have Jesus on top of the mountain, transfiguration. As a man comes to his disciples, he's got a lunatic son. He's got a demon-possessed boy. Jesus on top of the mountain, Peter, James, and John with him down in the valley. Here's a man that's got a son who is more than likely, according to what we say or study, he was epileptic. He was demon-possessed on top of that. He rolls in a fire. He cuts himself and et cetera. And he is a desperate dad. He comes to the disciples, and the disciples could not do anything for this boy. And so Jesus comes down off the mountain. And the man comes to Jesus and said, "I brought my son unto your disciples, but they couldn't do anything." Could you, watch this please, look in Mark chapter number 9. And he said to him, "Could you just help us? Could you?" In verse 22, "And oftentimes it cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." this man says to Jesus, if you can do anything, would you have compassion? Now watch what his response is. Jesus said unto him in verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, read this with me, everybody, all things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus looked at this man and he said, it's not based on me, it's based on you. Are y'all with me so far? Now, this is going to blow your ship out of the water before this service is over, because some of you sitting here this morning, some of you are going to grasp this, some of you are going to grow with this, some of you are going to leave the same way you come in. But I pray to God that you'll take this in your spirit and you'll say, Lord, I've believed wrong for all these many years. You see, most people believe this. Most people, when they pray, here's how most people pray. Lord, if it be thy will, then do it. If you'll take that blessed book right there, you'll know what the will of God is. You will know what is in that book. And based on the word of God, you'll know the will of God and you'll know how to pray. But then when you pray, it's not a matter of God's ability. He has all power, doesn't he? Amen. All power is given unto me both in heaven and earth. Jesus has all power. If he's got all power, can he not do everything, anything, anywhere, anytime, any place for anybody? Is it possible this morning that you could be set free? Say amen. Amen. Is it possible this morning that you could be free from pain? Say amen. Yes. Is it possible that you could be financially free this morning? Yes. Amen. Amen. Is it possible that your children be set free? Yes. Amen. Come on, stay with me now. Is it possible for you to be pain-free, symptom-free, financially free, children set free, you set free, your soul saved? Is it possible that God would give you eternal life? Amen. Is it possible for everyone? No, it's not. You say, whoa, you hit me with a ton of bricks. It is not possible for those that doubt. It is not possible for those that are negative. It is not possible for those that don't believe that blessed book for them to be free. Amen? Amen. The Son shall, if you know the Son, he will set you free. The only reason why people are in bondage, either they don't know the truth or either they don't apply the truth. And honey, can I tell you this morning that there are millions and millions of Christians across our nation, across our world, that will say, I believe this book, but yet when it comes to me, I just don't really know about it. Boys, you got quiet. Hello. Go with me now. I know that doesn't upset your apple cart. Go with me now. Let's skip over. Turn to Psalm 78. We don't receive anything from God according to his ability. Because he has all ability, does he not?
Yes.
So everything that we receive from God comes by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you are saved by grace through faith? Amen. You are kept by grace through faith. One day when God is preparing us a home in heaven, by grace through faith. One day he'll deliver these old corruptible bodies by grace through faith. I believe I'm going to heaven. Amen? How do I know that? The word of God says so. John 14, Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Everything that we have because of the grace of God, and it is through faith. You with me so far? But there are many things in the will of God, and just because they are God's will don't necessarily mean that we're going to get it or that we're going to receive it. Look in Psalm 78. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Just a couple verses here. Don't have time to read a whole chapter. The whole chapter has to do with the Israelites coming out of Egypt. This whole chapter has to do with putting the blood over the door and how that God rescued them and they were delivered by the blood. They got to the edge of the Red Sea and God parted the Red Sea and they went across on dry ground. Y'all do believe that, don't you? And these Israelites, God said, I'm going to bring you into a land of promise. I'm going to bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to bring you into a land where it's going to be your land. This is a land of goodly places. It's going to be a land where the grape clusters grow. It's going to be a great land for you. Now, question, did all of those Israelites get into the promised land? And the answer is no. Was it God's will that they get there? Yes. Did they get there? No. Why? Look, if you would, Psalm 78, verse number 40. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Y'all tell me, why did God say that if you're 19 and under, you get to go in and the rest of you crowd, you're going to die in the wilderness? It would have taken them 11 days to go from Egypt into the promised land in 11 days. And yet they spent 40 years round the mountain. Here we come, round the mountain. Here we come, round the mountain. Why? One word. Unbelief. Unbelief. Oh, they got out there and they said, oh, God, he's brought us out here in this wilderness. We're going to die. We don't have anything. We don't have no water to drink. God brought them water out of the rock. No, we don't have any food to eat. We don't have nothing. God brought them manna. Oh, we got this bread, but don't have no meat. God brought them quail. And they tempted the Lord God.
Come on.
And God said, okay, you don't believe me. And so you're not going to get the blessings that these other people are. Are y'all with me so far? Now, some of you, it's taking a little time for you to catch on to this. Let's go back here in our scriptures, all right? I want to show you something. There's three things here very quickly this morning. Let me ask you this. Here's what the Bible said. 2 Peter 3:9. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is it God's will that anybody die and go to hell? The answer's no. It is not God's will that any lost soul go to hell. I believe in the whosoever will may be saved. But are there people going to hell?
Yes.
Yes. Philippians 4:9 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Does God have all riches?
Yes.
Yes, he does. Some of you need a dose of coffee this morning. We're going to break out the caffeine in a minute. Come on, wake up. Here's what the Bible said, Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and he owns the hill underneath the cattle.
Thank you, Lord.
But are there Christians that are struggling today?
Yes.
Yes, they are. Why? Well, let's go back to Matthew 9, and let me explain this to you. What did he say in Matthew chapter 9 that will revolutionize the way that you pray and you ask God for anything? Don't raise your hand, but some of you here this morning, you have a son or daughter that you need prayer. They need to be set free. Some of you this morning, you've got a family that's about there on the brink of collapse. You need God. You need something in your life. Everybody in here needs something. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't. In Matthew chapter number 9, notice something with me. As these two blind men, they had heard about the miracles. They had heard about this man called Jesus, how that he had quieted the storm on the raging sea. They had heard about the ruler of the synagogue's daughter getting raised to life. They'd heard about this woman with an issue of blood for 12 years being healed. And they thought, this is our chance. This is probably our only chance to get our eyes open, to get our sight. This is our only chance. He's coming our way. We better act now. If we're going to have any sight, this is the day. Can I tell you something? You're not promised tomorrow. I share this real quickly. I'm still kind of just shocked. Good friend of mine, pastor friend of mine, went hunting on Thanksgiving. He didn't get anything Thanksgiving morning, went home and ate dinner with his family, and he told his family, I'm going back. And he went back that evening on Thanksgiving. He shot a deer. He tried to drag the deer out of the woods by himself. His chest started hurting. He got the deer out of the woods in the back of the car, they tell me. He tried to drive himself to the hospital, ran through a stop sign, was T-boned, died from a massive heart attack on Thanksgiving Day. I just talked to him not long ago. He was calling me, asking about a church he was going to candidate for. My friend, you're not promised tomorrow. We think that we have tomorrow. Some of you think you're going back to work tomorrow. Brother Steve there, he thought that he was going to pastor church. Brother Steve probably thought he's going to enjoy this deer that he killed. Brother Steve thought that, you know, he's going to spend some more time with his family. But on Thanksgiving evening, God saw fit to take him home to glory. I don't understand why, but one thing I know is that tomorrow may never come for you, my friend. And today may be your only opportunity. If you're sitting in this room and you're not saved by the good grace of God, today is the day. You say, how do you know it's my time? Because you're living, you're breathing, you're sitting here, you're listening, and you have sense enough that you can step out and you can be saved today, today, today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Now look at these blind men. And so they follow him. Three simple thoughts and I'm done. First of all, there's a trip to the master's house. Look at Matthew 9:27. Jesus left Jairus' house and the two blind men followed him. And they cried, Thou son of David. Thou son of David. That was a phrase to let Jesus know who they believed he was. You see, the Pharisees rejected the idea that he was the Messiah. But this was kind of like a code word. When they cried out, Thou son of David, what they were saying is, we know who you are. We believe who you are. We believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that you've been sent down here. You've been sent here, and they could say, I believe you're come to make us whole. So how do you know that? This book right here, Isaiah 35:5. Write it down. Don't turn over there. I'll read it to you. Somewhere along the line, I believe they probably had heard this. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Speaking of the Messiah. Isaiah 35 said that one of these days there's going to come the Messiah. And when he comes, he's going to unstop the ears. He's going to open the blinded eyes. He's going to set the captive free. One day the Messiah. And friend, can I tell you that he's already come. And his name is Jesus. He walked upon this earth for 33 and a half years. Went to a Roman cross. Died for your sin. Was buried. Rose again the third day. Ascended back on high. Making intercession for you and me. And he's coming back one of these days. How do you know that? The Word of God. The Word of God. We that are saved know who Jesus really is. Now these blind men, they cried out for mercy. Notice the second thing I see real quickly. There's the testing of their faith. These men were on the streets as Jesus passed by, but he didn't stop. He continued on to his house. Why didn't he stop? How many of you, if there was somebody that was in need and they were hurting and you walked by them and you'd say, wait a minute, let me help them out. I mean, somebody that perhaps you know that they were legitimate and you know that they really needed help. Would all of us have taken a moment of our time to stop and say, well, let me help you. If I could help you, let me help you. But Jesus kept on walking. Why did he do that? I believe it was to test their faith. How often do we as Christians, we pray about something, we pray one time, and we just forget about it. We go our way, and sometimes God says, if you really want something from me, ask. And you shall receive, seek, and keep on seeking, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Amen?
Amen.
It's the test of your faith. Do you believe he's going to do it or not? And watch what happens here. You see, they said, we believe that you are the Messiah, but your faith must go far, far beyond that. Stay with me now. There's a big difference in believing about God and believing in God. Millions believe he's the creator of the universe. Millions believe he has all power. Millions believe he has the power to heal, to deliver, to set free. But there are some people that say, I'm just not really sure if it's meant for me. Look in verse 29. According to your faith. He didn't say according to my power. We know he has all power. Would you not say amen?
Amen.
He has power to set free. I mean, listen, thank God he can take an old alcoholic. He can set him free to where he doesn't desire liquor. He can take a drug addict, set him free to where he doesn't have a needle, where he doesn't have any cocaine. He can set the captive free.
Oh, yeah.
He has all power. And by the way, can I tell you something? It takes the power of God to set the captive free. There are many good programs in this world today, but I want to tell you something coming from people that tell me this, people that have been there, people that have been addicted. They'll tell you right quick, listen, there are many good programs, but the only one that's going to set you free and keep you clean is Jesus. You can try. New Year's is coming up. Some people say, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to make some New Year's resolutions. They last about a week. But friend, if you get a dose of the real stuff, it'll go with you all the way to the grave. There'll be a change.
Thank you, Lord.
Be a change. But there are three kinds of faith. Get these down. First of all, there is a mental assent. What do you mean? A mental assent says this: the Bible comes from God, but in my case, it just doesn't work. I'll never have it. I might as well not even ask for it. You see, this is like a person that says, yes, now we're going to get into some touchy areas. Yes, I believe God can deliver a person, but that's just not for me. Yes, I believe God can save anyone, but that's just not for me. Yes, I believe God can save everyone and anyone, but I'm not sure if he's going to be able to save my loved one. Are y'all with me so far? Come on, talk to me, church. Oh, some of you getting off the boat. Come on. Mental assent says this: I believe the Bible, but I believe it up here. And the Bible says faith without what? Works is dead. Did anybody come in this morning and test out that pew you're sitting on before you sat down? Did anybody, I want to know for sure, did anybody come in here this morning and did y'all walk up and say, wait a minute, let me see if it's going to hold me up? Did anybody do that? No! What did you do? You came in and you plopped right down and you had faith in that piece of wood and that cushion that's going to hold your body up. And not only your body, but the rest of them that's sitting on the pew. You had faith and you put it to work. You had faith and you put it into action. You didn't even think about it. You got kids this time of year, and they come with you with a long list, and some of you grandparents, you know what I'm about to say. What do you want for Christmas? And all of a sudden they give you a long list. Guess what? They have faith to believe that come Christmas morning, it's going to be underneath that tree. And if it ain't underneath that tree, you're going to have a bunch of squalling kids. And adults too, amen. Y'all with me? Second of all, that's mental assent. I believe it up here, but I'm not going to put anything into place. I'm going to believe it. I mean, it may be good for Sister Gail, and it may be working in her life. But I just don't know for me, preacher. I mean, I prayed about it, and I just don't know if it's going to happen or not. Second of all, there is hope. Hope says this: the Bible comes from God, and maybe, just maybe, one day, I'll get the things I ask for. Oh, I believe the Bible. My God will supply all your need. And maybe one day, somewhere down the road, maybe before I die, I'll get that piece of bacon I've been wanting. Maybe. You can't really tell. You just have to wait and see. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Some people, when they pray like this, they pray, well, preacher, you know, I'm not really sure. I know what the Bible says, but maybe we're just going to have to wait and see. You know, I know what the Bible says, that God wants to touch my body, but, you know, I'm just not real sure. That's for some people, but I'm not really sure it's for me. Y'all with me? Maybe one day I'll have my needs met. Maybe one day my kids will get saved. Just maybe. Third of all is true faith. Faith says the Bible comes from God and His Word is true and I can have it because of Him. If God says so, hear me out. If God says so, then what? It is so. Can y'all say that with me? If God says so, it is so. If God says so, that's weak. If God says so, if God said so,
yes.
Hey, listen, let's start living that way. If He said, my God shall supply all my need, He will.
Amen.
If He said, by His stripes I am healed, I am. If He said, the strength of the Lord is my strength, then He is my strength. If He said that I am strong, then I am strong. If He says He cares for me, then He does care for me. That's what true faith is. Can I tell you why some folks will never get this? Y'all that know your Bible, help me out now. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I echo what my brother said this morning. You know why that we have got such a generation of Christians today that don't have faith in God? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know what, my friend? You need to be in the house of God. Why? So to increase your faith. You need the house of God. You need the preaching of God's Word. You need some old-fashioned preacher that'll stand up and call it just like it is and tell you, my friend, thus saith the Lord God, He is true. Let every man else be a liar, but God's Word is true. And by faith, you can have what you ask for.
Amen.
Third of all, the third thing, notice the triumph of faith. The triumph of faith. What is God's method for the Christian to receive something from Him? Go back with me for a second. Say amen if you believe this. All power is given unto the Lord.
Amen.
All power both in heaven and earth.
Amen.
There's nothing too hard for God. There's no problem too big for God.
Amen.
There's nobody too wicked that God cannot save.
Amen.
Now you're getting a little bit weak on me now. We're going to have to go back over this. How many of you are hungry? Well, praise God, we'll just go another hour. How many of you believe that God can save to the uttermost?
Amen.
How many of you believe that God can meet every need?
Amen.
He can satisfy the longing soul.
Amen.
He can touch your body and make it whole. Go back to Matthew 9:29. Jesus asked these blind men the same question. Verse 28, do you believe I can do that? I just asked you the same thing that Jesus asked these two blind men. Do you believe that I can do that? How many of you believe that God can open a blinded eye?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Both physically and spiritually.
Yes.
This lady, Joanne, her daughter's living testimony. Amen?
Amen.
Don't have time to give her testimony. I'm not going to try to give somebody else testimony. But when the doctors told Joanne and Tom that Tammy would never see, they chose not to believe that. She can see today, can't she?
Amen.
Who did that? Oh, they took her to some good doctors, yeah.
Come on.
But I'm going to tell you who did that, the great physician. Amen? Look in Matthew 9:29. Are y'all with me so far? I know this is a little hard pill to swallow. You know why? Because you have been taught over the years You've got to pray in God's will. Honey, let me tell you something. If we know this Bible and we know it's God's will, hear me out now. If it's written in here, can we not rest upon the promise that God's already said it? He's not going to change his mind. He's not going to play favorites. He's not going to do something for me that he's not going to do for Gail or for Rodney or for Tom or anybody else. He's going to do it for his children. But here's the clutch. Here's the clincher. Look if you would. What did Jesus say to these blind men? Do you believe that I can open your blinded eyes? And they said, yea, Lord, we believe it. Notice in verse 29, according to my power? No, according to your faith. Don't raise your hand. How many of you have got a son that needs to be saved? Don't raise your hand. How many of you have got a daughter that needs to be saved? How many of you have got a need in your life that only God can meet? How many of you right now, you've got financial woes and worries? Don't raise your hand. But you know who I'm talking about. I don't know. God in heaven knows, but according to your faith. You say, preacher, I know what you're saying, but I got myself into this mess, and I'll get myself out of it. That's the whole problem, isn't it? When we sing that song, just as I am without one plea, then we're saying, Lord, I'm coming to you just as I am. I'm coming to you in the salvation sense. I can't clean it up. I can't do anything right. All I can do is come to you and thank God he will take you as you are. Don't raise your hand, but how many of us, every last one of us, has messed up before? Amen. You made some bad decisions. You made some bad choices. And now the devil wants to beat you up around the side of the head with that and say, that's the way it's going to be the rest of your life. You might as well just live in depression and defeat. You're never going to get out of this hole. You're never going to be financially free. You're never going to be well. You're always going to be this way. Your back's always going to hurt. And he goes on and on and on and on and on and on. What happens? Matthew 9:29. According. The word according means in agreement with. In a musical sense, it means harmonizing. I am not a musician. I don't claim to be a musician. I cannot read music. I try to sing the best that I can. But I do know when something is in key or not. Bless your hearts this morning. I'm not picking Miss Bonnie and Joanne. While y'all was in Sunday school, they were going over some of these Christmas hymns. And thank God for these ladies playing Amen. Say Amen.
Amen.
But Bonnie's over here. She's like, no, that's not it. And she kept, and Sandy was back there poking fun. I said, you get over here and you try. Now, I cannot read music. Bonnie can read music. I can't read music. But I do know one thing. If she's in one key and she's in a different key, it don't harmonize, does it? It's a conflict. Y'all hear me? If she's playing in C, she's got to play in C. If she's playing in F, she's got to play in F. If she's playing in F and she's playing in C, then you've got disharmony and it don't sound good. But when you're playing together, then you can make music and it sounds wonderful. And here's what God says. I said it, God says. Do you believe it? Do you accept it? If you do, we're together on this thing. We're pulling together. We're harmonizing. We're agreeing together on this thing. Hey, it's only according to your faith. Mark 9, here's where most people are, and I'm done. This is where everybody's at this morning. Please, one more passage, and we're done. Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Here's that man that had a demon-possessed son. Foaming at the mouth, falling in the fire, wallowing on the ground. Jesus said unto this man, if you can believe, all things are possible. Here's what the response of this man was in verse 24, and this is where we are at today. This man said, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, read this with me. Lord, what?
I believe.
Help thou my what? Here it is. Faith will work in your heart, but the thoughts of doubt will work in your head. Can I say it one more time? Faith will work in your heart. How did you get saved? By faith. By faith. Faith works in the heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Faith works in the heart. But then what happens up here in the head? Doubts. Doubts arise. I'm going to be honest with you. How many of you? I'm going to raise my hand. How many of you have ever doubted your salvation? Raise your hand, would you? A good number. Faith works in your heart. Doubts come in your mind. And this man said, Lord, I believe. I believe your word. But Lord, help my unbelief. What can I do to get past this? Here's the key. 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 4 and 5. For the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Here it is, folks, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every time when God moves in your heart and God says, this is something that you can have, by faith I accept it, by faith I believe it, and then the doubts come in your mind, you've got to take that thought and cast it down and say, by the good grace of God, I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm not going to believe that. I'm going to believe what God said. His word is true. He'll never lie. He loves me. He's not against me. He wants to answer my prayer. He wants to see my children saved. He wants to set my son free. He wants to restore my marriage. God is for you. He's not against you. But according to your faith, it shall be done. That's where you're at this morning. What will you choose? Some will sit here today and they'll hear this message and they'll go in one ear and out the other and they'll say, I believe the Bible.